Well, like every preacher under the sun, I've been considering what messages to preach and bring to you in these days. I did plan at the start of the year to return around this point in the calendar, actually, to our series in the Gospel according to Matthew. Some of you folks in Uddenard's RP might remember we spent the first 6 months of 2019. You may not remember this. Hopefully some of you remember. We spent the first 6 months of 2019 in the early chapters of Matthew's Gospel, working our way through from chapter 1, verse 1. But we stopped around the month of June, midway through the Sermon on the Mount. And as I've thought about what to preach, in some ways the passages that we'll be coming up to next in Matthew's Gospel, in some ways they are more appropriate perhaps than ever. We're going to be looking today at Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 to 24. We're going to consider the subject of stockpiling. Stockpiling. Next up, of course, you'll be able to see it's about worry and anxiety. So I think our time will be well spent in the next few weeks getting back into Matthew's Gospel, getting back into the Sermon on the Mount, and resuming this series. Maybe also to say for your information, I'm also planning to begin a brand new series of sermons to run alongside this series in Matthew. We're going to call the new series Behold Your God. Behold Your God. We're going to look at some of the attributes of God. And our prayer is that our eyes will get lifted upwards to contemplate the character, the perfections of God, and to acknowledge our own limitations. And so the first sermon should also be appearing on our YouTube channel today, if it isn't up already. But let's get stuck into Matthew chapter 6 on this occasion, and let's read God's word. So Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 to 24. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The eye is the lamp of the body. So if your eye is healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light in you is darkness, how great is the darkness? No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. So reads God's word. Well, just a few months ago, websites and newspapers were carrying reports of people who had been stockpiling in the event of a no-deal Brexit. Do you remember Brexit? And some reports say as many as 9% of the population had begun to hoard tinned food, dried food, medicines, toiletries. And while that was probably something many of us, we merely heard about it and we possibly just passed it off as the actions of just some extra careful people, maybe slightly paranoid people, surely all of us would have to agree, wouldn't we? The past few days and weeks, however, they have brought the notion of stockpiling to us with a frightening and stark reality. Within the last fortnight alone, as warnings from our governing authorities have escalated, so have people's shopping bills. With the prospect of self-isolation and lockdown, supermarkets and shops have really struggled to keep up with demand. And almost all of you will have seen the empty shelves. People have been stockpiling. And I would suspect that the majority of your kitchen shelves are not empty today. I suspect that in many of your homes, there's much more food than there would normally be, and there's much more other supplies than there would normally be. We've been stockpiling. But are we stockpiling the way Jesus says we should? As we come to Matthew 6, 19 to 24, we're midway through the most famous sermon in the world, the Sermon on the Mount. It spans from the start of chapter 5 to the end of chapter 7, three chapters. It's a sermon Jesus gave early in his ministry. It's all about the kingdom of heaven. Over and over that phrase comes up in the three chapters, kingdom of heaven. However, rather than describing the kingdom, the sermon instead describes the people who belong to the kingdom. It describes their lifestyle. It describes what citizens of the kingdom look like. You could say it's about Christians living a kingdom life in a fallen world. Christians living a kingdom life in a fallen world. And something John Stott brings out very helpfully in his excellent commentary in these chapters is what he highlights as a repeated emphasis in the sermon. An emphasis, he says, that concerns those of us who are his followers, citizens of the kingdom. And John Stott says this emphasis is we are to be entirely different from others. John Stott says the key text of the sermon is in chapter 6, verse 8. Do not be like them. Do not be like them. In other words, the whole sermon, he says, is a call for us to be different and distinct from the world. And so, for instance, we're called the light of the world or the salt of the earth. We're to be different from others when it comes to lust and divorce and anger and retaliation. We're to be different when it comes to being anxious. We're to love not only our friends, but our enemies too. It's distinctive Christian living. And in fact, Stott says there isn't a single paragraph of the sermon in which this contrast between Christian and non-Christian standards is not drawn. It's the underlining and uniting theme of the sermon. So with that being said, friends, how challenging is this passage before us on stockpiling? As Christians, many of us living a kingdom life in a fallen world are stockpiling, are hoarding, are laying up of treasures and possessions. It's to be utterly different, distinct from the world. And so let's approach this passage together. Let's be ready for it. Let's be ready for it to search us and challenge us. And we could say that it asks three questions of us. Three questions. Firstly, where is your treasure? Where is your treasure? This is verses 19 to 21. Where is your treasure? Jesus begins by telling us not to do something. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth. You could say, don't store up for yourselves. Don't stockpile for yourselves. Don't hoard for yourselves earthly treasures. And by treasures, this goes far beyond the idea of a pirate's treasure chest. In other words, it's more than silver and gold Jesus is speaking about here. It's more than money. This word, treasure, it's a very inclusive word. It certainly includes money, yes, but much more than that. And so even the person today with nothing in their bank account, they have treasure in some shape or form, the things that we prize and hold dear. It could be anything this world has to offer, anything it can provide us to entertain us, to sustain us, to satisfy us. You could really just talk about stuff. We're not to lay up stuff for ourselves on earth. Now, just to be clear, Jesus is not saying that we shouldn't have a bank account. He's not saying that we shouldn't have a savings account. He's not saying we shouldn't have a life insurance policy. He's not saying that piggy banks are sinful. Nor is he saying that Christians should never prepare for a rainy day. I really don't think he's saying that it's wrong to have stocked up supplies in preparation for self-isolation. Nothing wrong with stockpiling in and of itself. Think of Joseph, for instance, in the Old Testament. Joseph is consistently held up as a man of God, but remember how he stockpiled. He stockpiled during the 7 years of plenty before the 7 years of famine. And there's no doubt that that was a good and wise course of action. So that's not the issue for Jesus here. Stockpiling is not the problem. Rather, it's the attitude. It's the attitude that lies behind it. It's the mindset behind the stockpiling. Listen again to the text. Matthew 6, verse 19. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth. In other words, it's a stashing away of stuff out of selfish greed, he condemns. And that's been a big problem in recent days, hasn't it? Selfish, thoughtless stockpiling. We've seen images of fights breaking out in the supermarkets, queues for people to get into the stores. Shops have had to open up special shopping hours for the vulnerable or for NHS staff, because people are going in and filling their boots, emptying the shelves, often thoughtlessly, selfishly, with little regard for others. And that's part of the problem here for Jesus, the attitude behind the stockpiling. It's much the same attitude that the rich fool had in Luke 12:19, when he said to himself, I will say to my soul, soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Relax, eat, drink, be merry. But if all of that, but if that was all Jesus said here, don't stockpile selfishly. If that was all, he would sound no different than our politicians or the media in these past few days, rebuking selfish stockpiling. No, Jesus goes much, much further than that. He condemns not only selfish stockpiling, but short-sighted stockpiling. He explains that stockpiling, hoarding, laying up of stuff for the here and now, it is extremely short-sighted. Listen again to the verse. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. And in a statement, he puts his finger on three of the major financial worries for people in the first century. Moth, rust, and thieves. Now, the moth might not mean much to us, but we need to understand one of the best forms of investment in Jesus' day was in material. Material was very costly, but it was compact and portable. And if looked after, it held its value very well. That is, until a moth got at it. And if you pulled out an expensive silk garment, worth a year's worth of salary perhaps, only to find ugly gaping holes in it, it meant your investment was utterly ruined, destroyed. They dreaded the moth. Rust could also be translated worm. It literally speaks about something that would eat away at something. And so, yes, true for precious metals, but probably more true for the people in this day in terms of grain. Do you remember what the rich fool said? I will tear down my barns and I will build what? Bigger barns to hold my wealth. His wealth, in other words, was in grain. And you know what the problem with grain is? Pests. and vermin. And so that was another source of financial worry for people in that time. Rust or worm, or just something that eats away at your wealth. And then thieves breaking in and stealing. Homes weren't made of bricks and mortar like ours, but they were made of clay, mud really. And so all it took was a thief to create a hole in the right place, and he could have access to a whole household's possessions. And by highlighting these three financial concerns, moth, rust, and thief, Jesus is making the point, even the most secure things of this world, they'll pass away. And really they're unsafe. Really they're uncertain. And ultimately, he would say today, all the toilet roll in the world, bucket loads of soap and hand sanitizers, cupboards full of pasta, they're of no real lasting value or help. And we know this, don't we? We've seen, haven't we, investments, savings, plummeting overnight. Secure jobs have suddenly become insecure. Our world's economy has been dealt a colossal blow over this last month. And some of you have been touched really, really severely by this. And we haven't yet seen the full consequences nationally or globally. And so it should be very clear to us, earthly treasure is no place to build our confidence. Earthly stuff gives no lasting security. The only sure place to store up treasure is in heaven. That's the only sure place. Verse 20. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, where thieves do not break in and steal. In other words, we're to set our hearts on things that last forever. We're to invest in things of a spiritual nature. We're to live for the next world, not just this one. We're to live for heaven, not just for earth. Setting our hopes and dreams and joys and pleasures not on stuff here and now, but on Christ and glory there and then. And so Jesus wants us to have our hearts fixed single-mindedly in the kingdom of God so that our treasure is there, our heart is there, our love is there, our passion is there, our investment is there, our all is there. So the first question from the passage, where is your treasure, friend? Where is your treasure, young person? Where's your treasure? Second question, what is your focus? What is your focus? This is verses 22 and 23. In these verses, Jesus backs up what he's been saying. He gives a helpful illustration. Think of your eye, he says. Your eye, it's like the lump of the body. It shows you, in other words, where to go. It directs you. It guides you. And if your eyes are good and healthy and sound, literally the word there is single, well then the whole course of your life will be good and healthy and sound. On the other hand, if your eyes are defective or sick, bad in some way, then you'll stumble and fall all over the place. Now, what's he talking about here? Well, he's talking about perspective, isn't he? Our outlook on life, our focus on life. And if the focus, if the outlook, if the perspective of your heart is good and sound and healthy, well, then that will influence your whole life for good. What does Jesus say? Your whole body will be full of light. But if your focus, if your outlook is defective or sick or worthless, well, then there's no light coming into your life. Your whole body, he says, is full of darkness. It's a tremendously helpful picture. If you're living with an eye for heaven, if your focus, if your outlook is singly devoted to God and laying up heavenly treasure, if you have a single eye toward that, he says your whole body is full of light. But if you're merely stockpiling for the here and now, laying up treasure in earth, if that's your focus, if that's your outlook, if that's your perspective, if your whole world revolves around now, ultimately your life is darkened, he says. The eyes of your heart are blinded, Paul would say. If your eye is set on earthly stuff, possessions, career, promotion, reputation, your home, your looks, your family, if those things are your be-all and end-all, your goal, your horizon, your perspective, he couldn't be clearer to us, could he? Your whole body is full of darkness. He's very blunt at the end of verse 23. If then the light in you is darkness, how great is the darkness? In other words, if you think what you have now is the end purpose of life, the be-all and end-all, if you're merely living for the moment, your life is nothing but darkness, Jesus says. Your life is barren. It's an empty wasteland. And maybe the last few days have brought you to see that. Maybe in a way you've never seen before. You've become to realise that living for the job just isn't so important after all. And your hobbies and your pastimes and your car and your shopping and your eating out and going to the cinema, none of those things, when they've been stripped away, none of those things actually gave any real lasting happiness. And maybe one of the reasons God has stripped away all the distractions from your life is to get you to actually look to him and think about him and to focus on him. As we thought last week in 2 Chronicles 20 verse 12, we are powerless here and we do not know what to do, but our eyes are on you, Lord. That's the idea here. That's the challenge here. As disciples of Jesus Christ, we're called to singleness of heart and purpose. We're called to seek first the kingdom of God. So what's your focus in life? What's your focus in life right now in this season of isolation? Do you have a single focused perspective and outlook? Or are you still being totally distracted by the things of this world? Where is your treasure? What is your focus? And then thirdly, who is your master? Who is your master? Jesus now drives things home in verse 24 by presenting us with an ultimatum. Because he knows, doesn't he, that there's going to be those who hear his words and they're going to think to themselves, well, Jesus, this is all a bit extreme, it's all a bit serious. Surely, Jesus, I could have treasures here and also treasures there. Surely you could spread your life focusing between earthly and heavenly priorities. And Jesus couldn't be any clearer in this verse 24. No one can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one, love the other, or he'll be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. No one can serve two masters. In other words, you can't have a foot in both camps. You can't serve God and money. And again, that word money, it encompasses much more than pounds and pence. The old word was mammon. It speaks of all earthly treasure, all our earthly stuff. You can't serve God and serve something here on earth. You can't have two masters. That's a telling statement, isn't it? You can't have two masters. Either we're mastered by a loving, kind and merciful God, or we're mastered by something else. We're mastered by our possessions. No middle ground, no fence to sit on in between. There is a real and true sense, friends, we don't possess our possessions. If we're not careful, they can possess us. So many people today ruled and dominated by their stuff and gripped by worldly concerns. Everyone has a master. And Jesus asks us here, who is your master? To whom do you belong? Who or what is the Lord of your life? And surely for the Christian, your Lord is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. He's our Lord and our God. But is he? Is he? Is he your Lord? Is he your master? Is he the driving force of your life? Is he the motivation for everything? Psalm 73, verse 25. Whom have I in heaven but you? And there is nothing on earth that I desire besides you. You cannot serve the world and him. To a degree, you've got to choose your master. That's what Joshua said, isn't it? To the Israelites, Joshua 24, verse 15. Choose this day whom you will serve. So the big question for us ultimately boils down to this. In a time of isolation and lockdown, what are you living for? What world are you living for? Where's your treasure in all of this? What is your focus in this season? Who is your master? Are you an earthly stockpiler? Or are you a heavenly stockpiler? How would you answer that today? Maybe you're not quite sure where your treasure is. Well, Jesus helps us out with that, doesn't he? Verse 21, we haven't touched on it. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. It's quite clear, you want to find where your treasure is? Look at where your heart is. Look at where your heart is. David Livingstone, many of you will have heard of David Livingstone, a Scottish Christian missionary who went to Africa in the 1800s. He wrote in his journal at the age of 20 about a pivotal moment in his life, and from that time onwards his whole heart was given to God, and God used David Livingstone in remarkable ways until he died at the age of 60. His last but one birthday of his life, he wrote in his journal the following words: My Jesus, my King, my life, my all, I again dedicate my whole self to thee. In other words, he gave his all to God. Christ was his treasure. Christ was his focus. Christ was his master. And when he died in 1873, there was a national outpouring of grief in Britain, and he received a great state funeral. If you would go to Westminster Abbey in London today, you'll find right at the very front of that building, pride of place, a large engraved tombstone marking David Livingstone's remains. But you see, his body was transported back from Africa. But interestingly, just before his body was taken back to England, his two loyal African helpers, once he had died, they opened up his chest and removed his heart. And they planted David Livingstone's heart underneath a tree nearby. And you can go to a little village in Zambia today, and you can find a tree. Well, not today, obviously. But you could go to Zambia and find a tree which has a sign on it that says this: At the bottom of this tree lies the heart of David Livingstone. His body might be in Westminster Abbey, but his heart is in Africa. His body might be in one place, but his heart was in another. Where is your heart today, friend? Where is your heart? Colossians 3 verse 2 tells us, set your mind, you could say, set your affections, you could say, set your hearts on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. Where are you stockpiling? Here on earth, where things will ultimately pass away, or are you looking to that inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, unfading, kept in heaven for you? Perhaps in the providence of God, in this season of quarantine and isolation and disruption from normal routine, perhaps God is searching your heart. And what if you were to come out of this season maybe having less in your bank account, but having more of Christ than you ever had before? What if God's purpose in this season is for you to recover the love you once had for him? Maybe for some, you've never really had an interest in God ever before. You've never really been made to think hard and seriously about eternal matters. And in the providence of God, God is calling you to be still and know that he is God. And in a wonderful way, this lockdown for you, it could be the most freeing, the most liberating thing of your life. In other words, don't waste your lockdown. Don't waste your lockdown. Invest it. Use it. Redeem it. Not just in exercise or learning a new skill or in home DIY. But let's use this unexpected time we have in our hands to press on further than ever before, to press on in prayer and press on in the word and to press on in love and devotion to Christ, so that you and I, we might be able to look back on the coronavirus crisis of 2020 and we might see it as a seminal moment, a pivotal moment in our walk with God. A time when we really and truly stockpiled for heaven. Let's come to God in prayer and let's pray together. O Lord, once again, we thank you for your word. We thank you that it is not bound. And we pray that this season of isolation and lockdown, that for us it may not be one that is filled with worry and fear and panic, nor one filled with earthly stockpiling, but that it might be an opportunity for us to invest in heavenly spiritual matters, that we might be laying up for ourselves treasures in heaven, and that we might come out the other side of this season knowing you better, loving Christ better and deeper and fuller. And we pray, O Lord, that this might be a great season of change and sanctification for us. We pray this particularly for those who might be listening and watching these messages and maybe as yet they don't know the Lord Jesus. And maybe as yet their lives are still filled with darkness. Shine the light of the gospel into those lights, those hearts and lives, we pray. Flood them with your light. We know your word is not bound. And we ask this in all of our hearts. For Jesus' sake we pray. Amen.